If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like to invite you to turn to John chapter 14, a familiar passage of Scripture, verse 1. John chapter 14 and verse 1. We'll look into God's Word. I'll talk a little bit more about our ministry in Mexico in the message. And, we're living in a crazy world. I'm 59 years old. To some of you, I'm young, and to others, I'm real old. You know, there are things happening in our world today that when I was in high school, I couldn't imagine would be happening. Things that I wouldn't have even been able to fathom. And it seems to me that Satan, not just in third world countries and other parts of the world, but even here in the United States, is working in a way, and things are spiraling downward faster and faster. It seems like Satan is gaining control. And you know, I don't want to be a negative tonight, a prophet of doom. I'm going to start out a little bit negative, but I'm going to end up positive, okay? Stay with me. But this is a time in history when more than ever the world needs the gospel. And it's a time in history when we see things happening around the world and then even here in the United States. And it's a time when we can not only be alarmed, but very, very troubled. Who are you going to vote for? Don't answer that question. But we're living in a very unique time. Jesus was speaking to his disciples here, to the apostles, and he was about to leave them. They were living in the Roman Empire. You know, we think things are rough here in the United States. What they were faced with was incredible. And he was going to leave them. And he said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled." But he's preserved these words for us tonight. And the same message that he was saying to them, he's preserved for us. And he says to us, "Let not your heart be troubled." Tonight, I'd like to give you three reasons why we should not be troubled Christians, why we ought to be rejoicing Christians. Let's read verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, John chapter 14 and verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now, I think what he's saying is, he's talking to his apostles, to his disciples, and he's talking about a continuing trust. Keep believing in me. Keep trusting me. Keep your eyes on me. You believe in God, believe also in me. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Amen. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for these verses and these promises. And dear God, we look for your return. God, we're so happy that you're preparing a place for us. God, I pray as we look into your word tonight that you might use me to be an encouragement and a blessing to this church. This church has been such a blessing to us, to our children, to our family. And God, I pray that I might be an encouragement to this church, a blessing to this church tonight. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be able to encourage our hearts and speak to our hearts, give us direction tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Three reasons why we should not be troubled Christians. Number one, we are on our way to a better place. We're on our way to a better place. This is a troubled world, but God has a better place for us. We know how it's going to end, and it's going to end well for those that have trusted in Jesus Christ. There are Christians that feel like it's spiritual to be discouraged, to be down. God is pleased when we make a sacrifice for the Lord, but at the same time, God wants us to be rejoicing Christians. God wants us to enjoy life. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, now think about this. Listen to these words. It says, talking about God, "who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Pastor, I have this theory that when God calls you to a mission field, He gives you a desire to eat that food. He makes you enjoy that food. Now, God has called us to Mexico. This is proof of that theory. God has called us to Mexico. And I love the food down in Mexico. Oh, there's nothing like Mexican food. We've been here in the South for a couple weeks now. And boy, the food here is, we're eating things that we've never eaten before. We had alligator about a week ago. And cheese grits. The fried chicken is wonderful here. Hush puppies. I thought I knew what green beans were until I came to Georgia. And your food is delicious. And I told Kathy the other day, I said, maybe God's calling us to Georgia. But, you know, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. God wants us to enjoy life. We enjoy our grandkids. We were talking with the Bullocks, and that's one thing we have in common. One thing we can do together is brag about our grandkids, you know. And God wants us to enjoy our family. And God gives us richly all things to enjoy. And you know, it's easy to see the negative things. There's a lot of negative things happening all around us and sometimes in us. But we need to lift up our eyes and see the positive things. Well, I like to look at it as we're on a trip home. And, you know, if you were to come down to Mexico, now we had a group come down, and they reminded me tonight that some of the group that came down, most of the guys that came down got sick. And I can, if you come down, I can keep you from getting sick, okay? There's places you should eat and there's places you shouldn't eat. We had our youth leader bring a group down from our home church, Sun and Shield Baptist Church in near Tucson, Arizona, and Ray McCormick. And I told him, now Ray's crazy. I understand he's going to preach for you in your camp. And he's crazy, let me tell you right now. And I said, now Ray, when you eat, don't just eat anywhere out on the streets. If it doesn't have running water, don't eat there. And Ray, I think he felt invincible, and he was eating everywhere, and him and the youth group got so sick, you know. But if you come down, we'll take you to some good places to eat, and we'll take you, and we'll get you some good tacos de carne asada. Oh, beef tacos, steak tacos, they're delicious. And you know, you can eat them up here in the States, but they're just not the same. And we'll take you to get Sonoran hot dogs. Has anybody heard, besides the group that comes down, about the Sonoran hot dogs? They're starting to make it up here into the United States. Along the border states, you'll see stands with Sonoran hot dogs. In Arizona, they're just everywhere, Tucson and Phoenix. I was looking through, I guess I was bored and trying to kill some time, I don't know where I was, but I was looking through one of these women's magazines, and they had an article in there about Sonoran hot dogs and how to make Sonoran hot dogs. And they'll start with a hot dog, and they'll wrap bacon around it. Anything with bacon is good. And then they'll grill that hot dog, and the secret is the bread. It's bread that they make fresh every day, and it's very soft and delicious. And they'll put that hot dog in that bun, and then they'll put everything you can imagine on that hot dog. They'll put cheese sauce and salsa, guacamole, more bacon, and more cheese, and just everything. Pastor, used to be I could eat two of those hot dogs, and now I'm doing good just to eat one of those hot dogs. They're delicious. You come down and visit us, and we'll take you out to the Pacific Ocean, about 20, 25 miles from us. Beautiful beach. Won't be anybody on the beach except us. And then we'll take you up to Alamos, where my son has started a church. That Alamos is was started in the 1600s. And it's a colonial-style city, cobblestone streets, real narrow, and the houses go up two stories and have balconies up there. They say in the summertime there's 200 Americans, that retired Americans, that live in Alamos. Very beautiful up there. And you'll, I guarantee it, you'll enjoy visiting Mexico. And the groups that come down, when they come down, they say, we want to come back. Mexico's a rough place to live, but it's a wonderful place to visit. You would not want to live in Mexico. If I had my druthers, humanly speaking, take the ministry out of the equation. We love our people, and that's why we love Mexico. But just humanly speaking, if I had my choice, I would not live in Mexico. A lot of corruption in Mexico, a lot of violence in Mexico. Sounds kind of like the United States, doesn't it? A lot of sickness and poverty in Mexico. It's a rough place to live. And so I've decided what I'm going to do is I'm just going to visit Mexico for another 20 or 30 years and then go home to heaven. Now, listen, that ought to be our attitude about this life. We're just on a trip home, and we're just passing through, and it won't be long, and we'll be home. You know, when I was young, time moved very slow. When I was a boy, I did not like school. I was not a good student, and I didn't want to be in school. And we would get out for the summertime, and it was like summer was an eternity. You know, I would feel like, man, I'm out for the summer. I'll never have to go to school again. And now it seemed like we let the institute out yesterday, and it's starting up tomorrow. It seems like the older I get, the faster time goes by. And the older I get, the more I realize life is short. Life is short. We're on a trip home, and it won't be long till we're home. And I think the secret, I realize in my life, when I have my eyes on this world, I'm not a rejoicing Christian. I'm a troubled Christian. When I'm looking around and my hope and my desire is on the things of this world, I lose my joy. And when I lift my eyes up and put my eyes on Jesus and on heaven and realize, hey, that's my home and that's my destiny and I'm just passing through this old world, then I begin to enjoy life. I become a rejoicing Christian. You know, we need to be like the saints of old. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says that they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. This is not our home. They declared plainly that they sought another country. And let me say, we're going to a better place. It won't be long till we're at that place. But on the trip home, God wants us to enjoy the trip. We were on deputation. Our kids, Christy and Alicia, were at West Coast. And I told them, and Dr. R got upset with me, and I told them, I said, take a year off from Bible college, and God is calling us back to Mexico, and travel 1 year with us on deputation, and let's be together one last time as a family. And so they did that. I think Dr. Rasmussen felt like they weren't going to come back to Bible college, but they did. They finished that. They went back afterwards and finished up. But they traveled with us on deputation for about a year. And I told the kids, four kids, I said, now pick any place out in the United States that you want to go, and we'll go visit that place. And of all the places, where do you think they picked that they wanted to visit? New York City. And I didn't have any churches up there, and I didn't plan to schedule any churches up there, but they picked New York City. And I thought, man, I don't want to go to New York City. But I made that promise, and so I had to keep it. And so we went and visited New York City. And I tell you what, we had New Mexico plates at the time, and everybody was honking at me. I think it was just because they saw those New Mexico plates. They wanted to get a rise out of the country hick. And so there's so much traffic and buildings everywhere. People were standing out on the streets talking to themselves. People are different in New York City. And, you know, New York City is not a place I would want to live. But we had a great time visiting New York City. Went to the Empire State Building and the Statue of Liberty and Times Square. And a lot of good memories. Had a great time visiting New York City. And that's how this world is. It's not a good place to live. But listen, this is not our home. We're just passing through. We're on our trip home. Let not your heart be troubled, because we are on our way to a better place. Secondly, Let not your heart be troubled, because Jesus is going with us on the trip home. Jesus is going with us on the trip home. And you know what? Jesus makes all the difference. I don't know how anybody could go through this life without the Lord. It'd be rough. And here, it seems like a contradiction here in John chapter 14. He tells them, let not your heart be troubled. And then he tells them, I go to prepare a place for you. He says, I'm leaving you. And they were troubled about that. But look what he says over in verse 16. Jesus is still talking to them, encouraging them, because physically he's going to leave them. And he says in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you, now look what it says, another comforter. And so we know that it's talking about the Holy Spirit, but when he says, I'm leaving, and the Father's going to send you another comforter, well, that tells us that one of Jesus' titles is the comforter. Jesus is the comforter. And how we need the comforter in this old world. This is a rough place. How can people go through this life without the comforter? And let me say this. I believe in strong borders. And if we were to build a wall, I would not be against that at all between the United States and Mexico. But as long as there's a demand, there will be a supply. And the United States craving for drugs is just phenomenal. I just heard that the number one cause of death in the United States now is not car accidents, but it's drug overdoses. Did you hear that? And what's happening in the United States, and I think this is what's happening, people are self-medicating. And they're just trying to find some peace and comfort. You know, one of the big things now are opioids. And they're coming from China, and many of them are coming through Mexico and up into the United States. But we could build that wall and keep them from coming through Mexico, but they're still, as long as there's a demand, there will be a supply. And people are looking for something. And what they need is Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. Now he was talking to his apostles, and he says, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Wow, what an incredible thing that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. But look what verse 18 says. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. In other words, what he's saying is, physically I'm leaving, but I will come to you in the form of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus lives in our heart. What an amazing thing. And as we're on our way home, the Comforter, Jesus, and the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is with us every day, every step of the way. And he comforts us, and he cares for us, and he directs us, and he helps us. Jesus makes all the difference. One of the last pictures in the presentation, there was a boy, Mike was talking about some of our graduates, and there was a young man, Gerardo, on the picture. And Gerardo came to us when he was about 13. He came on one of the buses, and Gerardo was a mess. I mean, emotionally, he was a mess. We thought that he was mentally challenged. We used to say retarded. Now they say mentally challenged. We thought that he was retarded. And there was a time that Gerardo was homeless. His family was just a wreck. He was homeless. He was living in the graveyard. The group that came down, do you remember Gerardo? I wish I had a picture to show you. But Gerardo was living in the graveyard. He was sleeping in the graveyard. I don't know if you've ever seen a graveyard down in Mexico, but that's not a place you'd want to sleep. That's not a place you'd want to live. And he came, and he trusted the Lord as a Savior, and he followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And it was rough. Those early days were rough. He had all kinds of problems. He'd be up and down, and Satan had had such a grip on his life and on his family's life. But he stayed with it. And Heydardo came to me one day, and he said, Pastor, he said, I'd like to study in the Bible Institute. And I thought, man, I know what's going to happen if Heydardo comes into the Bible Institute. I mean, he's going to fail all his classes, and it's just going to be a bad experience. But I didn't want to discourage him, and I didn't know what God's will was for him. And I said, well, Heydardo, let's pray about it, and if God leads you, you can come into the Bible Institute. And so he came into the Bible Institute. And sure enough, I mean, he was just failing terribly all of his classes. But old Heydardo stuck with it and went through so many trials. And I could tell you all kinds of stories. But he stayed with it, and he began to gain confidence that God did love him, that God did have a plan for his life, that Jesus was in his heart, and that Jesus was caring for him and was a good shepherd. And we began to notice a change in Heydardo. Down in Mexico, their grades are a little bit different. If you have a perfect grade, it's a 10. That's like an A. And a B would be like a 9 or an 8. And a 7 would be like a C. A 6 would be like a low C. A 5 is failing. I guess a 6 would be like a D, 5 would be failing. And Heydardo was getting like 3s and 4s and 5s. You know, I mean, he was not just failing, but he was failing terribly. But we began to notice that his grades began to go up a little bit. You know, it was a very gradual process. And we have a piano in our church, and not like that piano. But we have a piano in our church. And you know, Heydardo began to sit down and tinker at that piano. And pretty soon, Heydardo was playing the piano. And we thought, wow, he has a pretty good ear. But not only did he learn to play by ear, but he learned the notes. And if you were at Providence Baptist Church today, and could hear Heydardo play the piano, you would be amazed. He taught himself to play the piano. He taught himself to play the violin, the flute, the guitar. He organizes special music, teaches music, teaches piano. His grades began to go up. By about his third year, our program is 4 years, by about his third, fourth year, he was getting pretty good grades. Heydardo would walk around, and have you ever seen people that have emotional problems and when they walk, they don't move their arms? And his head would just be down like that. Now Heydardo walks, and he's got a smile on his face. He's just a completely different guy. Especially in the summertime, I'll have pastors that will call in our state, and maybe they're going to have a Bible conference, or they're going to have camp, or vacation Bible school, and they'll want some help, and they'll ask for some of our students to come and help them. And I think 3 times this summer I've had pastors call and said, could you send Heydardo? And I tell you what, God has changed Heydardo. Heydardo, his mom got saved, his sister got saved, his father got saved. Boy, we never thought that would happen. He goes soul winning with his dad. Jesus makes all the difference. And you know, there's a lot of Heydardos all around the world, all around us. And what they need is Jesus Christ. And they're looking for something in all the wrong places. And Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus makes a difference. Let not your heart be troubled, because we are on our way to a better place. Let not your heart be troubled, because Jesus is going with us on the trip. And then third, and this is my message tonight. All of that was just introduction. Now I'm going to preach my message. But I'll be quick, I promise. It'll just take me a few minutes. Let not your heart be troubled, because on this short trip home, we have an incredible and wonderful purpose and opportunity. And God has not just left us here to occupy space. When Jesus was on earth, he was very clear about his purpose. Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, are you with me? When Jesus was here in bodily form, he had a purpose. Now Jesus is gone in bodily form. Spiritually, he's here, but in bodily form, he's not here. This is the body of Christ. And the same purpose that Jesus Christ had when he was on this earth is the same purpose that we have. That's the reason that we are on this earth, to seek and to save that which is lost, to give and to go. And we give where we cannot go, and we go where we can go. And that's our purpose. Let me say this, and do not misunderstand me. This morning, was it this morning or yesterday? Yes, I guess it was yesterday. I finished reading through the Bible for this year. And I believe that every day we ought to read our Bibles. But our purpose in this world is not to read our Bibles. Now, don't misunderstand me. We need to read our Bibles, but that's not our purpose. And you can take this Christian, this lazy Christian that never cracks his Bible, and you can take this Christian that reads his Bible every day, and they'll both get to heaven. And when they get to heaven, this Christian that never ever read his Bible will know just as much about the Bible as this Christian that read his Bible every day. God wants us to be pure, and I believe in separation. But that's not our purpose on this earth. Don't misunderstand me. We need to be pure Christian, and that's part of our testimony. You can take this Christian, and he's a lazy, carnal Christian, and just lives like the world. And then you can take this Christian, and this Christian's a good separated Christian, has a list of stuff that he does and he doesn't do. And when they get to heaven, this Christian will be just as spiritual as this Christian. And there's a lot of other things that are important to do, but those things are not our purpose on this earth. We need to do them, but that's not why God has left us on this earth. This Christian does not care about lost souls. This Christian never gives to missions. This Christian never hands out a tract, never worries about another person's eternity. And this Christian is concerned and has a burden and is making a sacrifice that others might hear and receive the gospel. And when they get to heaven, there's going to be a tremendous difference between this Christian that did not care and this Christian that made a sacrifice. What a wonderful thing it's going to be when we get to the gates of heaven. And the Lord says to that Christian that's been following him, trusting him, you know, if we're trusting Jesus, are you with me? If we're trusting Jesus, we'll be following Jesus. And if we're following Jesus, we'll be serving Jesus. And those that are really trusting him, really following him, really serving him, you know, all Christians have put their faith in Jesus. There was a time when they believed in Jesus, but I'm talking about a continual trust in following Jesus. That person that's serving Jesus will get to the gates of heaven and will hear those wonderful words, and it won't be long. The trip will be over. And we'll hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come in. Let me show you what your faith has accomplished." And God's going to take us into heaven. And you know, here we don't see the harvest. We may see the first fruits. Our job is to sow the seed. God's job is to prepare the harvest. And when we get to heaven, we'll see the harvest. And we'll see what our faith has accomplished. And the Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." And what is God preparing? Well, we know about the streets of gold and We talk a lot about the construction materials of heaven, but that's not really what's important to God. And what's most important to God is the souls of men. And for those faithful Christians, God will take us into heaven and he'll show us the harvest, what our faithfulness has accomplished. And we're going to be amazed. I never would have imagined that my faithfulness would accomplish so much. Look what it says in verse 12. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me." Now he's talking to the apostles. And he's not talking here just about a one-time belief. He's talking about a continual trust, following him, serving him, obeying him. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." Wow. That's pretty incredible. But look at the second half. "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Jesus promised us that if we'll just be faithful, just follow him. The devil's an expert at telling us you're insignificant and what you're doing is not accomplishing much. But it's a lie. And if we'll just be faithful to the Lord, just follow him, trust him, serve him. The Bible says, "Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Let's close with verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." What he's saying is, just keep trusting me. Just keep following me. "Let not your heart be troubled," because we are on our way to a better place. In just a little bit, we'll be home. "Let not your heart be troubled," because Jesus is going with us on the trip. Every day he's with us. "And let not your heart be troubled, because we have an incredible opportunity and purpose." What a wonderful thing it is to serve God, to be used by God, to have a purpose in this world. Amen.